Wow.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. First of all, I am in MetLife right now, and no one else is here besides us. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. Not just the company, the stadium.
Yeah. That's right. We're inside MetLife Stadium.
We're not here for an interview.
Yeah. I don't think I'd get hired. They have standards.
But why are we here, Christian?
We're here
at MetLife Stadium because we're about to chat with a very influential, speaking of influencers, probably one of the most influential.
The most important guest we've ever had on.
When it comes to influencing New Jersey, the one and only, the honorable governor of the state of New Jersey, the one and only Phil Murphy,
everybody.
They call me the Sabrina Carpenter of New Jersey.
Yes, very nice.
What do you think?
Buddy, you're like a shot of espresso to me. That's all I'm going to say.
Amazing. All right. Okay, we need Phil Murphy doing like the new cover of Sabrina Carpenter's album. Yeah, that'd be hilarious.
Guys, work on Photoshop. Our fans are good with Photoshop.
I'm not going near that one, man.
How often do you get interviewed by comedians? Sorry, professional comedians.
Yeah. Professional comedians.
Got it.
Doesn't happen often.
No. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of both of you guys. So.
Thank you so much.
Come on.
Working in politics, I'm sure you come across a lot of clowns,
yes.
But not necessarily comedians.
You know how politics are being. We figured we'll start soft, right? Let's have a little fun. Let's do a little this or that.
Okay.
A little New Jersey edition of this or that.
Okay.
The question, you'll know which ones I picked because they're all bad food for you. but we'll go. Why don't I start? And I know this is a tough subject. Is it Taylor Ham or pork roll?
Ooh.
I knew you'd ask this. It's both.
It's
Taylor Roll.
Taylor Roll? You know what? Honestly?
I live in Central Jersey, so I have a foot in each, the North and South camp.
Gotcha.
So you have to have some sympathy here.
Also, you're the governor of everybody.
I'm the governor of everybody.
Not just the Taylor Ham.
Not just the guys who voted for me, not just the Taylor Ham crowd the pork roll crowd.
It's not exactly this or that. It's this and that.
Yeah. So again, he's going to ride the fence on some of these.
Yeah.
All right. How about this? Parkway or Turnpike?
Ooh, I like them both, but the Parkway's prettier.
There you go.
The Parkway's prettier. You take that. We live off of exit 114, which we love. We're in Monmouth County. But as you take it all the way down to number zero in Cape May and Lower Township, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful run there. So I like them both, but I'm leaning Parkway.
There you go. And for a moment, when you get down there, it almost feels like our version of the Pacific Coast Highway.
Yeah, you're kind of on your own little trip, which I love.
Okay, why don't we do this? For those, a lot of people in northern New Jersey, right around where the stadium is, they live here because they work in New York City for a lot of them.
Correct.
So I'm going to ask you this. Holland or Lincoln?
Wow. I think Lincoln because you have more lanes.
Oh, sure. That's important.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
You don't want a bottleneck.
Yeah.
You do our best, but I think Lincoln, they're both run really well by the Port Authority. But Lincoln gives you more latitude. So
yeah.
Sure. Lane Lincoln.
Why is that one lane on the right always out? What's going on?
I can't. I have no comment. By the way, three of our four kids live downtown in Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
So in that respect, kind of a personal tug would be the Holland.
Right.
Because it is, in fact, downtown. But more flexibility with the Lincoln.
But when you show up, they ask for money. So I like how you said Lincoln.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay, next up. Sopranos or Jersey Shore?
Ooh.
Sopranos.
Okay.
Easy.
Yeah. Confidently.
That you guys have to get harder. That was an easy one.
That was easy.
Yeah, that was his idea.
That was because I said Sopranos is the greatest show of all time. And he said, are you serious? And I said, wait till
you Christian
hear.
Said, what about Jersey Shore?
Yeah. He was fist pumping in the corner.
Yeah.
And I said, stop putting it on there.
This is self-tanner.
I also can't respond to that. So I'm going to turn the page on that one, boys.
All right. We'll switch to the next one. How about this? A New York slice or a Jersey bar pie?
A Jersey bar pie. Give me a break.
Yeah.
Of course.
Okay.
Not necessarily because I don't like the New York slice, because I do. But when Jersey's in the name of the thing.
Yeah, you got to do it.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
All right.
You're more Star Tavern, more Kitchley's. Do you have a favorite?
I go anywhere. I'm a Murphy. If it's a bar, I'll show up.
He's like, I'm a Murphy. I love that.
All right. Irish pubs, be
let's
aware.
Go.
All right.
Let's go.
My man Murph coming through, bro.
Let's go.
How about some New Jersey legends as far as athletes? Carly Lloyd or Shaquille O'Neal?
I got to go Carly because my wife and family and I own a big chunk of Gotham.
Yes.
And
of course.
Carly was our captain until she retired.
Yes.
So as much as I love Shaq, by the way, I've done some great groundbreaking and ribbon cuttings with him in Newark, which is where Shaq is from, as we all know. Carly has a special spot in our family's heart, so I'm going to lean Carly on that.
Really? Okay. I would imagine with Shaquille, the scissors are much larger than usual.
Right,
cutting
the
those ribbons. Yes.
Yeah.
You might need a larger.
Yeah. Shaquille
it
is...
It just looks like a normal scissor in his hands.
He's shockingly big.
Yeah.
You don't appreciate it until you're standing beside the guy.
Right. Well, I will say, as someone who's from Newark, he filled me with a lot of pride when I was growing
up.
Oh,
I love that.
And it's one of my dreams to meet him. So hopefully I
Listen,
get invited to one of the
ribbon
cuttings.
And I will tell you this, he has never forgot his roots in Newark, to his enormous credit.
Yeah. It's one of my dreams to meet him. Be okay. In the same room with the guy.
Okay.
All right. This one's also going to be, you can tell that I picked this one. Are we going to go with Rutt's Hut or are we going to go with Hot Grill? You a hot dog guy at all?
Yeah. Hot dogs here, by the way, at MetLife, really good.
Okay.
I just want to say that. I want to get that off my chest.
Get that off.
They're really
all
good
right
here.
Okay.
I don't have great passion on that one, but I am a hot dog guy.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Can we leave it at that?
Yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. All right. How about this? Frank Sinatra or Bruce Springsteen?
Ooh. Wow. That's a tie. Got to be a tie.
Interesting.
You can't make me decide on that
sure,
one.
Sure. Look, there's ties in soccer.
There's
so got to
be.
Yeah.
No extra time on this
one. It's a draw. One point.
No, right. We're not going to penalties.
We're not going to penalties.
How about this?
I put Mr. Bon Jovi in that for a three-way tie as well.
It was honestly tough to pick between Springsteen or Jovi there.
Yep.
Bon Jovi. You're down the shore. You got a hankering for a little bit of a bite. This or that. Disco fries or saltwater taffy?
Well, I think saltwater taffy.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, not that I'm opposed to fries, by the way.
He's a good politician. Never takes the no way. I don't just like
No, but I'm going salt water. I'm going salt water taffy.
Okay.
Several of my teeth come out usually with the taffy when I finish chewing them.
It's not easy to eat.
You need a dentist right after you have it. It's delicious.
I admire the bravery around that. Okay. Final this or that. And I'm excited about this answer. North Jersey or South Jersey?
Now, see, you can't make me do that. I'm the governor of all of New Jersey.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say none of the above. Central Jersey,
which doesn't exist, which is why it's not in the question. But you say it, though.
Yeah,
I can say it. Yeah. I live in Monmouth County. I believe in it. I love Jersey, baby.
We'll get to that in a little bit.
Absolutely.
Governor Phil Murphy, thank you so much for doing this. Let's talk a little bit about why we're here. Obviously, we're at MetLife Stadium. Uh-huh. The World Cup is happening in 2026. We're all absolutely thrilled. It's happening in a lot of different cities. But the main one that the final will be hosted at is in New Jersey.
So, Jersey, baby.
The fact that it is a year away, and this has been a cool thing. Obviously, your involvement and ownership of Gotham. You
know
ball.
You know
the game. So to be involved in to be a fan of the sport and then also be involved in where the World Cup is happening. I mean, what are your feelings leading up to a little less than 365 days?
Incredibly excited. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. And by the way, we should also say we're here because of the first global Club World Cup.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And MetLife has hosted 5 first round matches. Great atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And then we've got one quarter, both semis and the final in MetLife Stadium.
Incredible.
Which is incredible in unto itself. Never mind, Christian, your very good question about next year. We'll have 8 matches here, 5 first round again, a round of 32, a round of 16, and then the World Cup final, July 19th, 2026, 3 p.m. It'll be the most watched event in human history. Not even the most watched sporting event.
Sure.
Any event. We're incredibly humbled and honored to have it. New York City is our co-host. They've been fantastic. Just could not be more excited. We kicked off the Fan Fest about 10 days ago. It'll be in Liberty State Park. And the vista is just breathtaking. You've got Ellis Island, Statue of Liberty, and then the skyline of Manhattan behind you. Capacity of 45,000 people, 22 big screens. As thrilled as we are to get the 8 matches here, because the Cup next year will be 48 teams, the number of matches, 104.
Yeah.
So I keep reminding my team, 8 of them will be here. Incredibly excited about that. 96 of them won't be here.
Mm-hmm.
So that Fan Fest will be rocking for every single match, by the way. Cannot wait for the whole thing.
So you're going to be able to watch every single game.
If you show up at Liberty State Park, you can watch there – 104 matches if you stay the course every single day.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we'd like you in here for eight of them.
Yeah, I mean, Governor, you have the World Cup pitch deck right in right
there. You got the numbers.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
We're incredibly excited about this.
You've mentioned, you know, soccer, football a couple of times. You mentioned pitch when you spoke. You clearly know ball from when you're speaking. When was the moment Phil Murphy fell in love with the sport?
Yeah, it's a great question. I was a kid growing up outside of Boston. That gets me no votes in New Jersey. Get that off my chest. Good news is I'm term limited.
We'll just bleep it. Why was he swearing so much?
A friend of mine's parents were from Scotland, and the dad was an obsessive, Glasgow Rangers fan.
Sure.
So I would like do a sleepover at my friend's house, and Saturday morning we'd literally have a transistor radio on, listening to the match with his dad. That was my first taste. I played not a good player, but I played and loved it, both watching it and participating. Then moved to Germany as a banker. Germany at that point, West Germany, were the defending world champs. Got really into it. Met the gal of my dreams. Started having kids. They all got into it. They all played at very high levels. One of our guys won a national title in college. All four of them played at a high level in high school. We got involved in Gotham. Went back to Germany as U.S. ambassador. Probably went to a match a week during the season. Just loved the sport from way back. Our kids love it. It's a family thing. And now, of course, we're living it on the biggest stage of the world.
This is great.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, this is incredibly fitting, obviously, being involved in the sport in this much. But it's pretty rare to have a sitting governor also be, like, a fanatic. I'm sure you have, like, the FOTMOB app on your phone. Yeah. Before we started recording, you were, like, you asked your press secretary, like, hey, can you look up the score of the game? I'm like, yo,
this guy's locked in.
We're locked in.
Hey, when you're not a governor anymore, you want to do research packets for our show?
I'm coming to you. I'm gunning for Carter's job right over there.
Hey, buddy, it's open. Murph needs to come in. Give her a bar pies with him.
I love that.
So, and you know, Gotham, it has been a team, and even before Gotham, Sky Blue.
Sky Blue was Gotham and became Gotham. Yep,
and has been. You know, we've had several players on the show. We very organically became very good friends with Ali Krieger, who's obviously now
an
ambassador.
We also hosted Latinx Night.
Yes,
Gotham as well.
So we've been following the team for a long time, and it's been. You know, I was also in San Diego when they won.
We were there as well.
I took a photo with your co-owner Eli Manning as well. He took a nice, serious, non-smiling photo, which he's notoriously known for.
As he does.
But being owner of an NWSL team, and you've really seen it from almost its infancy with NWSL, and what Gotham has become. Where is it, especially as a fan of the game, to be involved in that growth of that club and seeing the success and seeing all these great players that come. There are a lot of U.S. Women's National Team players, a lot of other international stars come in. What's that feeling like to see that success and knowing that you had a hand in it?
Yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, our family is the longest serving owner of a professional women's soccer team. Most recently, NWSL. NWSL, thank God, at long last, is taking off. And this is the third, I think, iteration of a professional league. We changed the name to Gotham, which was my wife's the chairman of the club. And that was a big driving piece from her. I think a brilliant move is a marketing point, but it's both on the field and off the pitch. And by the way, we weren't always as good as we are now. Including off the field. Mm-hmm. But boy, it feels really good now. The league feels good. We play at the Sports Illustrated Arena in Harrison. Mm-hmm. And that's a professional like this, not as big, but it's a professional setting. As you mentioned, we've got national team players, not just from the U.S. Rose Lavelle is a household name, for us. I mentioned Carly. Ali Krieger was our captain. But we've got the German national team starting goalie, Team Berger. We've got Esther Gonzalez, who's a defending world champion with Spain, among many others. And the league, as I say, it's not just Gotham. The league itself has exploded. I think you could argue that women's sports have begun to explode. The WNBA is probably the best example of this. And that benefits, that creates sort of a momentum that benefits all of the women's sports, regardless of whether you're in basketball or soccer or wherever it might be.
Yeah, well, I feel like a good example is that, especially with the WNBA, NWSL as well, we're starting to see the toxicity of the fandom with women's sports, that it sometimes we feel
they're
like
so diehard.
They're so diehard about it that we're like, hey, relax a little bit.
Which
or
has an unfortunate underbelly as well.
But
the passions are running high.
100%, for sure. Right?
I guess that begs the question, you know, for someone who's been sort of overseeing the state of New Jersey and just sort of involved in the sport for so long, you sort of can understand changes as they're happening and what's causing it. Why is New Jersey such an important place for soccer players? It seems like on the world stage, so many players come from this region.
Yeah, it is crazy, right?
It creates so much talent.
Yeah. When we pitched the World Cup, not just as a host city with New York City, but as a venue for the finals, we pitched the soccer passion in the region. We pitched diversity, which is a big deal. We picked legacy, the potential, not just what the last World Cup created, but what this World Cup can create going forward. But you're absolutely right. The first soccer game ever played in America was in Kearney, New Jersey, about 10 minutes from here. You look at the roster of both women and men who have come out of Jersey, who have played at a very high level, the John Harks of the world, now the Gio Reyna's, a new generation, right?
Carly
you
Lloyd
mentioned Carly.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the list goes on and on and on. You know, we punch above our weight as a state, period. Not just in soccer, not just in sports. But then you look at, I think you can make the same argument, look at the NFL and trace the roots of, you know, the Quentin Nelsons of the world who went to Red Bank Catholic down by us, where one of our guys went, arguably the best offensive lineman in the NFL. One example of many that come out of New Jersey. But you could trace it through a lot of sports and none more clearly than soccer. And it says a lot about, I think, who we are, you know?
Yeah.
We got a backbone, we got character, we got attitude.
Yeah.
I think all of that really helps you in sports.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, having
you talking to me?
Yeah, see that? You
right?
See the attitude?
But having this energy, this enthusiasm in those pitch meetings with FIFA and Infantino, I can imagine a lot of the other governors cannot compete with the ball knowledge that Governor Phil Murphy has.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, I'm a little bit of a freak in that respect as it relates in particular to this sport. To what extent did that help? Probably on the margin it had to help, because you felt like if you're on the other side of the table, at least you had somebody who you're engaging with who knew which end was up in terms of the sport, which probably helps.
Yeah, because during the show, the announcement of where all the matches were going to be, all the reports were kind of saying that the final was going to be in Dallas. And I was a little bit shocked because, you know, the Athletic was kind
of... I got angry. I was like, that can't happen, you know?
Dallas put a good foot forward. They did get the most matches, in fairness to them. They have 9 matches. Everybody else at most has 8. But we pitched, listen, this is the most, it's the biggest economic region in the country. It's the most diverse region. The ethnicities here run through every gamut. New York City, second to none. Jersey with the stadium and all the passion that goes with it. I mentioned the fan fest and the backdrop that we'll have at Liberty State Park. You know, we felt strongly that we had it all. And thank God we came out on the winning side.
We were here just a couple of days ago for the Porto Al Ahly match.
How crazy was that?
Incredible.
This just in, the Egyptian fans travel.
Oh my God.
Remarkable.
I think every Egyptian person from the New York, New Jersey area was in this stadium. It was jammed.
So listen, when the schedules first came out, FIFA, to their credit, put a native Portuguese-speaking team in each one of the 5 first-round matches. So you either had Porto for 2 or... one of the 2 of the Brazilian sides that are in this tournament. And by the way, they all turned out with their fans as well. The shocker, Al Ahly played 2 matches here. The turnout of their fans took my breath away. I expected Porto and the Brazilian sides to come in with, right?
Yeah.
We're right next to one of the biggest enclaves of Portuguese speaking people outside of Portugal in the world. I got that. I did not expect 25,000+ Egyptian fans coming out for Al Ahly.
Cool. It was incredible. It was the vibes in the atmosphere was incredible.
Just crazy. Plus 4, it was a 4-4 final.
Yeah.
So you had, and they were playing their hearts out because there's incentive to finish.
Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah.
Even if you couldn't get into the knockout round, you get more if you get third versus fourth. And I don't know if you saw it, but at the end of the match, it was so hot. All 22 of the guys literally hit the deck.
I have the video available. Everybody collapsing on the ground.
It was crazy.
At the same time. They gave their hearts out.
They sure did.
And that was a hot day. That was it was an incredibly hot day. So I guess the question begs, you know, we're going to have the final here. You've been to a couple of matches. You've talked about the atmosphere. For someone who's not sure, they get to go to one game in the, when the World Cup happens, and they decide they want to come to the final. What should they expect?
Oh, my Lord. The final this year or next year?
Next year.
Okay, well, that, first it'll be a tough ticket to get.
I know. So, hey, sure. Maybe they set aside a lot of money for their whole life, you know?
I mean, this is the most extraordinary sporting event, not just annually or every 4 years, but period. It'll be the most watched. I think FIFA thinks between 2 and 3 billion people will watch the final next year.
Okay.
To give you an example, a Super Bowl, a good Super Bowl is 130 million.
Yeah.
Sure. So you're talking 10, 20 times that.
Just a little less than our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Not the viewership you guys have. No, I accept that. But just crazy. Every seat will be sold. You probably could sell it multiple times over. The fan experience will be extraordinary. You'll be safe. Your transportation will be as seamless as it possibly can be, recognizing you had 80,000 people coming in and out. The fan experience will be extraordinary. It'll be like unlike anything anyone's ever lived before. I've been to a lot of big soccer matches, Champions League finals, and a lot of competitive matches in my life, but there's nothing that's going to be like the World Cup final.
Well, that's the thing, especially in comparison to like in Europe. They don't necessarily focus so much on like the fanfare. They focus on the game, and now people are now getting upset at like halftime shows and musicians and stuff like that. And you know, people have their opinions or whatever. But when it comes to a final being played here, and even just knowing, I knew that you were like a fan of the game. But I'm like, this dude is gonna make sure there's a party.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, this will be a party. But I'll tell you an interesting thing. We think that the region, New York City, and Jersey, in North Jersey in particular, will have between 1 million and 2 million visitors. And you may say, well, wait a minute. If you multiply 80,000 times eight games, that's 640,000 seats. There'll be some overlap. How do you get to 1 million to 2 million? We think, and the experts, not just me dreaming, but the experts will say that the visitors will concentrate here. They may go to some games here. They may travel from here because you've got all the airports at your disposal. And that's among other another reason why the big fan fest will be a huge hit. Just think about this for a second. Take Germany, where I know the best as a former U.S. ambassador there. Let's just assume for a moment the Germans have one of their first round, their group stages games here. They're not all going to be here. Their other two will be somewhere else.
They got to watch the game somewhere, right?
They got to watch the game somewhere. So they're either going to travel and they'll buy the strip. You know, a lot of the sophisticated European fans, South American fans, will buy the strip. They'll buy the first the group stage games, which will be three, and then they'll just make an assumption that proud of their national team.
Right.
So again, if you're a German, the Germans are going all the way to the final, so they'll buy the strip that goes through the round of 32, round of 16, quarterfinal, semis, final. But a lot of folks won't do that. They'll buy one or two, and then they'll want someplace to watch it. And that's our big fan fest. New York will have Times Square. They'll have, I think, the U.S. Tennis Center will be a big part of this. It's going to be incredible. Yeah. Again, certainly in here, but in the entirety of the region.
And the good thing, by next year, Newark Airport will be sorted out. And the flights
will be all right. We'll be all right.
Also, it is as we speak, thank God, a lot better than it was a couple months ago.
I'm also thinking of setting up a hot dog stand somewhere around the stadium. If there's going to be that many people here.
I mean, Alexis, make some
money
for
crying out loud. 90 minutes, but
I know you're not making money off of this kid.
No, not at all. We got to get the governor of Delaware on the show to make money. Governor Murphy, we have more when we get back right after this.
Welcome back. We are here with Governor Phil Murphy.
He's literally waving at construction workers he knows behind us.
I don't know them. I was just waving at them. Oh, I wonder what they're doing up there, actually.
Buddy, you're not running for office. I'm not still on the campaign trail.
No more waving. Term limited.
The waving budget is
empty. It's just a habit. You're almost always campaigning.
The waving budget is empty.
Governor, this is, especially because of the World Cup, Club World Cup, it's difficult to disconnect politics, policy, from the sport. And
fans are talking about it online.
And from the economy. Yep. I mean, we were talking about a little bit beforehand about, like, Timothy Ware going to the White House and it being in an awkward experience with the president, and while he's fielding questions, very serious questions about geopolitics and war and all this other stuff. But when it comes to, you know, obviously what's been happening in the country, ICE, people getting just taken off the street, or people going, you know, at work. And it's just very serious. It's obviously very sad, especially us as two Latinos seeing this. It's very difficult. But when it comes to a lot of the conversations about people just going to games, that's been a big concern about, do they have to worry? Do they have to worry about being questioned or detained and things like that?
Yep.
But as governor and a fan of the sport, what is your thought and how do you process it and handle it as well to make it the experience safe?
So I was looking at the Juventus players in the Oval Office, and I said to somebody, actually it was at one of the matches, I said, and my colleague Natalie Hamilton's with me, and she knows this well, we used to do, after an event, we used to do question and answer from the podium. And so let's say we do a bunch of these. You're in a school library and you're talking about, you pick it, universal pre-K.
Right.
The press is in the back, the event's over, and they start asking questions. Invariably, none of the questions have anything to do with universal pre-K.
Right.
It's all about, you know, does your mother know you kicked your dog or whatever it might be, right? So it's a whole range of stuff, and it hit me that those guys probably are in the Oval Office thinking this is about soccer. Yeah. It's about the Club World Cup. It's about Juventus, one of the great European or global sides. And I'll bet you, I don't know this for sure, none of the questions were on any of the above.
I don't think they were. Right? No, yeah. So at least not the ones that made the clips.
Right. So we, for years now, we do gaggles. We actually leave the podium and go off to the side with just the press for that very reason. You don't want to put somebody in an awkward position based on where the Q&A is headed, which has nothing to do with the reason why they're there.
Yeah.
That's the narrow reaction I had. More broadly, again, there are three legs to the stool, each of which we take incredibly seriously when you host something like this. Security, transportation, and fan experience, stadium experience. And I feel really good about where we are on all three. There's no evidence that any of those worst fears, no evidence that I'm aware of, that any of those worst fears have come to pass, where anybody who showed up at one of these matches has any encounters that were based on their immigration status. Just have not heard of any of that. New Jersey is, by many metrics, one of, if not the safest state in America. And there are a number of reasons why you achieve that. It's not any one thing. But one of the reasons we've achieved it is we've got something called the Immigrant Trust Directive, which we put in place 7 years ago. And it's been upheld in court, including by President Trump's appointed judges. And that is, if there's a bad actor out there, somebody who's robbed a bank or murdered or raped or whatever it might be, folks can approach law enforcement without any fear that their immigration status will be put into question and say, that guy's your bank robber. That guy's your murderer. And that's been a huge tool to keep New Jersey safe and to keep the relations between community and law enforcement what they are. To us, that's really important. On the other side of the coin, if you're a criminal and you've committed a serious crime, we're coming after you. We're not asking. Our first question is not going to be what's your immigration status. We're coming after you for robbing a bank. So I think at the end of the day, it's quite clear. I don't even have to say this probably, but given anybody who knows who I am will know that I don't agree with the whole. Again, if you're going after criminals, we're all in for that. But if just instilling fear in innocent folks who are in our country, that's not who we are as Americans. Having said all that, I am highly confident that not only this cup, but even more importantly, next year's cup, with 48 teams And sure as we're sitting here, some of those teams are going to include, I'll bet a lot of money Iran is going to be on that list, right?
Yeah.
You could see North Korea, a higher probability that Iran's going to be here than North Korea, but you could see that as well. And you, and I have a high degree of confidence that the administration will do the right thing, that they will get the visas organized. In fact, the United States, Mexico, and Canada won the right to host the World Cup next year when President, when Donald Trump was president the first time.
Right, right.
And he had to sign a whole series of commitments with FIFA that said just what I said, that you're going to have an unencumbered experience in America. So I know there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of anxiety. None of that is who we are as a nation. Too many innocent people just on the edge of their seat. That's not who we are. Having said all that, I'm confident not just in what I've seen so far here, but what we expect to see next year, that we'll be in a good place.
That's very nice. Good to hear. I
mean, please God, that's right, right?
Yeah, yeah. Please. I mean, it's something where, yeah, I mean, you talk about American values and like, especially this sport is, it's global and it's supposed to be welcoming. And more than anything, as far as, you know, anybody worried about the safety, like a lot of times people, you know, you don't want to obviously mess with America,
yep,
but you don't want to mess with the global superpower that is FIFA.
Not at all.
So your roots are Dominican?
Yes.
And you're Cuban?
Yeah.
I mean, Cuba's probably at the, I don't know how you feel about their getting inside the 48 teams.
I would love to see some prosperity for those players.
You'd love to see it. And yeah, I think there's a decent shot you'll see it.
Yeah.
Again, if folks don't know this, and I think they wouldn't be watching you guys if they didn't know soccer. Yeah. So there's probably three people out there I'm speaking to right now. But the World Cup up until the last time was 32 teams.
Right.
The last time the U.S. hosted, it was 24 teams.
Yeah.
We still hold the all-time attendance record with a 24-team cup, to give you an idea.
Isn't that crazy?
How it is crazy. It tells you among passion for the sport. And look at how darn big our stadiums are, right? So we play in some big venues.
We're about to blow that number out, though. With this,
we're going to blow this next one. They'll probably never be beaten.
Really?
48 teams. Of course, it's Mexico and Canada, by the way, our co-host. So not all the matches are in America. And by the way, they're going to have big stadiums as well. Azteca is the opening stadium. They're renovating it as we speak. I spoke to the guy for FIFA who's running the Mexico piece of the World Cup. He's highly confident that renovation will be done. But whatever, it's like 105,000, 110,000.
We've been there once for a U.S.-Mexico game.
I have never. I'd love to be there.
We were standing in the entryway before you look up to your seats, and somebody spilled a beer about four rows up, and it went through a crack, and it came out the electrical socket wall.
Come on.
And spilled on a guy standing by the – just standing there waiting against the seat. So when you said they're refurbishing it, it needs some. It needs a little bit of, you know, maybe just some Flex Seal.
I'm speaking to our Azteca friends. Please make sure you check the wiring and the beers.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Drop beer everywhere. See where it comes out.
Exactly.
We were talking about, you know, some political figures. And in New York, the Democratic candidate now for the mayoral campaign, one, an Arsenal fan. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, I didn't.
Massive Arsenal fan.
Oh, I should have seen that.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the campaign he led and sort of how he seemingly has brought a lot more spirit to a Democratic campaign than we've seen in a while, unfortunately.
No truth to the rumor that Arteta was his campaign manager.
Not at all.
I'm just checking.
But if you didn't vote for him, Per Mertesacker would tell the truth for you.
Oh, Lord. I still read German press because we lived in Frankfurt and Berlin, and I saw this big article that Per Mertesacker is selling his home. I thought, how the heck that make that into this magazine? I don't get that, but that's somebody out there will figure that out. Pretty impressive by any accounts. If you know, this will air July 1, but we're now a couple of days after the election. If you turn the clock back 10 days ago, 2 weeks at most, this didn't look like it was going to happen. And you got a guy who really touched a vein deeply, ran a brilliant campaign. There's just no other way to say that. It's going to be interesting now to see how others react.
It's been very negative.
Right?
You got a lot of
negativism.
Yeah, yeah.
You've also got some question now as to whether or not there's going to be a serious amount of resources put behind an independent run. Of course, Mayor Adams, I should say, shout out to Mayor Adams. He's our co-host for the World Cup, and he's been fabulous. But he's already running as an independent.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So the question, I think, will be, is there going to be some more momentum in and around that? But you got to tip your hat. A hell of a campaign. I ran my first time as a nobody. I was way outside of the favorites for a lot of different reasons, and including making a few smart moves and putting the right resources in place. We came from nowhere to somewhere. But this guy did it with a much shorter runway, and hats off to him.
Why did you run for governor? What's the pothole that you hit on Route 21 where you were like, that's it, I'm fixing this
time
place.
Time out, man.
McCarter Highway.
McCarter Highway, yellow car.
Yeah, for real.
I drive on that almost every day, by the way, McCarter Highway. No one reason. I grew up in a Kennedy, Irish Catholic, big Democratic family. My dad did not graduate from high school, but a brilliant guy. My mom got through high school. That's all she did, but she made sure we got educated. I was youngest of four. So that's one big reason. It was in my sort of blood. Secondly, I got involved as the finance chair for the Democratic National Committee, raised a lot of the money that went toward winning the House and Senate back, and probably most importantly, getting Barack Obama elected president of the United States. By the way, another huge soccer and sports guy.
Okay, text him.
Yeah, buddy, let's go. Call the phone let's out. Go. Let's get him on the show. We'll go to him.
He's coming up next.
Yeah. What does he want to do? Is it Soldier Field? He's a Chicago guy.
Yeah, he is a Chicago guy. White Sox. He and the Pope. White Sox.
Yeah, right. How crazy is that? Right.
It's crazy. He then asked me to be the United States Ambassador to the Federal Republic of Germany. So Berlin, we discussed before we got on camera, an extraordinary country and city. And came back, you know, we did our first term with President Obama. We came back to our home in New Jersey, which we had never given up. And there felt like there was a void. And we started kicking the tires. So no one reason. I do have a finance business background. And it felt like the big thing to fix in New Jersey was the economy was broken, meaning both it didn't grow and it wasn't equitable. So not only was it flat, not everybody was getting their share of the pie. And so we felt like we had some experiences that might match up well against that. And the rest is history.
There you go.
I mean, it really says a lot about, you know, your efforts and where you came from, because you say finance.
I've
never said that before. I don't think I'm even allowed to.
Right. You stay at hotels that don't advertise free breakfast. You know what I mean? When you say finance, you get those little cups with the egg that you got to crack the shell and you dip your toast into it. You know what I'm talking about?
Trust me.
Yeah, I know you know what I'm talking about.
I grew up in those places.
The gov, dude. Yeah.
When it comes to your background, especially in finance, but with the DNC, I think it's interesting with Zoran Mamdani's winning the primary and him just really speaking about changes yep. to the Democratic Party. When it comes to functioning within the party, and you, I'm sure you have a lot of experience with that. When somebody is there to kind of like shake things up, how is that received generally when new ideas are brought to the table?
Well, this one for sure is a bolt for the party and for New York City, without question. I think his big, how is it received? I think at first people, when they see someone come in sort of quote unquote out of left field, not to switch sports.
Yeah.
There's a holy cow. Wait a minute. I think his big job right now will be, without giving up, and again, this is putting aside whether I agree with him on item X or policy issue Y. Let's not get into the specifics of that. Just as a political matter, which I think was your question, Christian, is his big job now, I think, has to consolidate the party, reach out to folks who may not agree with him, all the while not giving up on his core principles. I think he's, secondly, this is getting a little bit into policy, he's put out there a lot of things that he wants to accomplish. Mm-hmm. You know, universal child, free child care, free bus, free train. I can tell you one thing, we're trying to do our budget right here as we speak. That's really expensive stuff. So getting more what I would call depth and credibility around those programs in a way that feels inclusive. So it's not an us, them, the us, that's where I think it gets dangerous. We're going to pay for something for you that I don't, you know, benefit from. There's a way to make that pitch that appeals to everybody, where it's in my enlightened self-interest actually to do just that, because New York City will be stronger, better, more inclusive, whatever the end of that sentence might be. That to me is his challenge right now, to do that without giving up his core principles.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, the things that obviously resonate, I think, with a lot of people, especially young people, is just affordability. Yep.
Affordability is a big thing in Jersey as well.
Yeah, Jersey City two bedrooms are $4,000 now.
Yeah, but again,
I went to St. Peter's. That's crazy.
Compared to New York City, you're
that is a discount.
You got people tripping over themselves to get into Jersey City, Hoboken, Hudson County, more generally, this part of the state more broadly, because it may not be the cheapest place in the country to live. But we do a lot of things on affordability, and it is cheaper than New York City. So that's, you know, between COVID and affordability, New Jersey, you know, is at an all-time high in terms of population right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's why I moved to New Jersey from New York. And, you know, now I have a two-year-old who just started in daycare in Bergen County. And there's I hear free childcare. And then I'm like, well, why isn't Governor Phil Murphy talking about this? Okay?
This is So our version of that is pursuing universal pre-K.
Sure.
We put a ton of money into childcare. We haven't done free for everybody, but a lot of what we do is means tested, meaning if you're below a certain income level, you get the real goodies. Mm-hmm. And when you've got budgets that have inevitably, New York City is like this, which is why I said he's got to make sure his plan is credible. New Jersey is certainly like this. You've got to figure out where to place your bets, if you will. Who needs X or Y the most, and make sure they get it. And that's what we've done a lot of.
All right. This guy's got plan. Hey, real quick, we can fix Newark right here. How about this? 10-year abatement if you're an artist. 10-year tax abatement. You don't pay taxes. You don't pay state taxes in New Jersey if you're an artist. Artists will come here.
I like that.
What happens when artists go there? They put on shows. They do cool stuff.
Yeah.
People who say finance want to go hang out in those shows. You know what I mean? And then it brings the rents up.
Yeah. We were talking about Berlin. Berlin has benefited from a huge influx of artists, both performing artists like you guys are, but literal artists, writers, scholars. Yeah. And that, by the way, interesting, there used to be an old adage in real estate, follow the artists.
Yes.
Those lofts that used to people were painting whatever, those now you can't get near them.
Yeah.
Now it's going to be updated to follow the TikTokers.
Yeah, yeah. Okay? Follow the streamers.
Follow the streamers.
Follow these guys.
The world's changing, Gov.
You got it.
I guess the one last thing, and you've kind of mentioned it before, but if you can, if there's someone who is thinking about coming to the World Cup, they put so much money aside. They've got a family. Maybe they've got one or two children. And they're thinking of what city to go to. And right now, America looks a little scary to them. And they're thinking they're going to go to Canada or Mexico. Why should they come and spend their hard-earned money and benefit the economy of New Jersey?
Yeah, I'll give two levels of an answer. One is beyond the World Cup. This is the most diverse, most supportive, highest value region in the United States. I would argue in the world. So we stand up for people. We stand up for communities that are up against it. As long as you're law-abiding and you're here for the right reasons, you come for the American dream, as the version of each of our families have in one form or another, there's no better place to stand, to have your back, to share your values, to support those values. So that's bigger than any tournament. And then when you get in, but you'll see that live through the World Cup. Then when you get to it's the World Cup, you're going to have an experience if you're in the stadium unlike any you've ever had before, no matter which of the eight matches you'll be in. You're also going to have extraordinary alternatives when you're not in the stadium. As I mentioned earlier, 104 matches, 96 of them won't be in here.
Yeah.
Right? And I mentioned Liberty State Park. New York City will have their versions. I will tell you, I'm not even talking about, Newark. Think of the Ironbound. Think of Brazil on match day. Portugal on match day, Spain on match day. You'll have Ferry Street closed. You'll have bars in those parking lots with huge screens. This will be, so plant your flag here. Get a, six-week hotel reservation or a Airbnb or whatever it is, right? Find your way into.
Goals being scored on and off the pitch.
Again, we'll ignore this. Find your way into the stadium for a match or two, and then enjoy the region. And by the way, this won't be cheap. Hopefully, they'll have price points that allow that family you hypothetically raised to get in here and not spend all their life savings. But I guarantee you, the experiences that I mentioned outside the stadium, whether it's Liberty State Park, Times Square, Ferry Street in Newark, you pick it, it's going to be extremely affordable.
Yeah, yeah.
And extremely, you know, passionate, fun, life altering.
Yeah. That's good. I mean, I have
you'll be safe. That's the other thing I want to make sure you know. Right. You will be safe here.
I have memories of the 2006 World Cup, and I was living in Sunset Park, Brooklyn, but I went to Bensonhurst when Italy won the World Cup, and it was
crazy.
Almost as fun as probably being at the stadium and stuff. It was incredible.
That was an extraordinary cup against France, obviously, final. They had beaten Germany, the hosts, in the semi in an epic match in Dortmund, and then they won it in Berlin.
Amazing.
Hey, we're not governing anymore. You got to be the third mic on the show. This kid knows ball.
I'm getting paid for this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We got sure.
Was that the waiver that you guys asked?
Take
me
whatever
to
you want from the hospitality suite. How about that, huh? They got appliances back there. They're nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of nice bottles of water over there, folks. Ooh, you can't see. Yes,
finest water in New Jersey.
There you go.
Springs come from the same place as New York. We got a lot more Cooligans when we get back after this. All right, we're back. We're still here with the governor. He's spoken to his lawyers, and they said that he could continue speaking to us. It was pretty cool.
They told me we have 10 minutes, and that's it.
So that guy in the middle is a real problem. I want to talk about something fun. Christian brought this up, and we all watched the clip again of you at the DNC yelling, "We're from New Jersey, and you're not."
Yeah.
Talk to me about that moment.
We're from Jersey, baby, and you're not. So it's a crazy thing. The DNC was being very sort of strict about what each state could say when they, you know, wave at the sort of somebody votes for Kamala Harris.
Right.
And they were like really regimented. And then Georgia, can anyone remember who the rapper the Georgia head?
Oh, that's right.
I don't know. I don't know.
The guy starts dancing down the aisle and rapping. And I said, wait a minute. If Georgia can get a rapper who was pretty well known, as I recall, why can't we do something? And then I was told, no, the DNC will go crazy. And my wife, to her credit, said, you know what, Phil? Time to ignore that advice.
Yeah.
Get creative. So literally with 10 seconds to go, I'm thinking, what do I say? And that's what I came up with. I'd never said it before in my life.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. And now I say it every minute of my life.
You're a rapper. You freestyle that line.
Why isn't there a Phil Murphy doll that you can pull and it just yells, we're
from
Jersey?
So Natalie knows. There's a cool thing online where you see me like an animatronic me in a suit. Saying we're from Jersey, baby, and they were playing Springsteen in the background.
Yeah.
So it was a pretty cool combination.
It's become a rally cry.
It has been.
I hear it a lot at 4 a.m. in front of Slice Joints that are still open.
I'm sure there's no booze involved.
None at all. Everyone's getting up early.
I was obviously we're researching about you and your career, but one of the things that was mentioned was your friendship with Howard Dean.
Yes.
And Howard Dean
Also screamed.
Also had a notorious.
It cost him the election.
I did better than Howard with the scream.
You did. If you don't, for any young folks, Howard Dean was running for president, and he did the,
we're going to Delaware.
He just brought an energy that at the time.
We wasn't ready for it.
We wasn't ready for it. He did it too soon. He was ahead of his time.
Yeah.
But now.
Now,
if that man did that now, it wouldn't even make the news.
No, let's say he's trying to be like Murphy.
Yeah.
No, but listen, he's a dear friend, and he was a visionary leader. Quick, serious point. Well, I should have said this earlier. I became the finance chair of the DNC, which was a voluntary position, but I did it full time because of Howard. Remember how Howard had the 50-state strategy?
Yeah.
Which for Democrats was like, this was anathema. Howard was right. You got to be in the Republicans do this a lot better than Democrats. You got to be in business in every state, every day of the 4-year cycle, and not just falling in love with the top of the ballot, but the entirety of the ballot. That's what Howard was all about. And by the way, because of that foundation that he laid, I would argue the House, the Senate, and ultimately Senator and then President Obama benefited enormously.
Interesting. Absolutely. Yeah, Howard Dean and my memories of him and that campaign were very much, he was almost like too sweet too vulnerable, too kind for maybe like the political landscape. Not,
maybe.
And I'm not saying that as a pejorative. It's just, it's what I would want in a leader.
Yep.
But at the time from the, he was just mocked. He was on, remember the Chappelle Show? Chappelle
sure.
Show was that was a big deal. They were you making bet. Fun of him.
How does he feel about that Chappelle Show episode?
I don't know. I don't know that I've ever asked him, but he was the quintessential outsider.
Yeah.
Right? Quintessential five-term. By the way, in Vermont, they elect their governor every 2 years, which I think is, I love Vermont, but that's wow.
Yeah.
He was five times two, and he kind of came out of nowhere. You asked me about the Mamdani, another guy who came out of nowhere. And when you come out of nowhere, no matter, again, putting aside positions I may or may not agree with, when you come out of nowhere, there's a jolt to the system.
Sure.
And you got to figure out how to deal with that jolt. And Howard lived that.
Yeah. Who invited this guy? Is that interview?
Well, it's kind of that, right? And you could argue Howard didn't get what he deserved for having been the not just the candidate, but I think more importantly, the chairman of the party.
Right. It's fascinating. I think what happens, we're speaking of outsiders, when things start to change or they become more, or policies become more progressive, or there's candidates that are more progressive, I find it fascinating how the conservative sort of discourse tends to be like, oh, states like New York or New Jersey, blue states, like those are
Stalingrad.
They're very dismissive.
Sure.
But as soon as policy might be changing or might be going in a different direction, it seems like everybody's interested.
Yeah.
Well, I thought you didn't like us. I thought you didn't care. But all of a sudden now, we all have something to say.
People also put their eyeballs on execution. It's not just, it's nice you said all that. I need to see what your plan is. Then I need to see you execute your plan.
Who are these people? My wife?
Right?
You know? Oh, you said you'd take out the garbage, but I need to see it out of the house. Oh, we're getting to that part of the campaign later.
She's been feeding me some of my best lines today.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you.
I want you to know that.
It's starting to sound like it. We got this cool game that we like to play on the show. It's called ProRel. You obviously know what this is. Promotion and relegation,
right?
Simply, we're going to make a statement. And you're going to say pro if you agree, rel if you disagree.
Okay.
So imagine you are saying these statements. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Should I go first?
Pretty simple. These are very lighthearted.
Okay. Okay. So first one. January 6th was a peaceful protest.
Pro if you agree, rel if you don't.
We're going to relegate.
We're going relegation. Right. Okay. Yeah. How about this one? Without immigrants, the economy would collapse.
Promote that.
Yeah.
It's a fact.
That's a pro.
In fact, even Donald Trump in his actions has conceded that point by not going any more. I'm assuming that they're still not doing this, but the other day, no more restaurants, no more farms.
Yeah.
I forget what the other third.
Yeah, construction, I believe. Was
construction.
The third one.
Yeah.
Okay. I do believe he went back on that, by the way.
Promotion.
Yeah. Okay. So pro.
Next up. America would be stronger if everyone had free health care.
Promote without question. But again, this is back to the Mr. Mamdani, you got to figure out, you got to be honest with America, how you're going to pay for that.
Okay.
And that's a big footnote on my, I love it. Universal healthcare. I'd love to see like this. You got to figure out how you're going
to
pay for it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things, when it comes to soccer and we watch Europe and there's a lot of things, universal healthcare is one of those things that it is, we envy.
Having lived there, I've seen it with my own eyes and it's something that I think we should aspire to, but how you get from here to there matters a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of times European fans will ask us, do people at MLS games fight like they do in Europe? I said, no, we don't have healthcare. You know how expensive it is to get punched? It's like $3,000.
You're cautious about,
are you kidding me?
How passionate
you are. Don't call an ambulance. I can't afford it. Jeez.
This explains a lot of peaceful matches in the MLS and the NWSL, I might add as well.
Yeah,
very civil.
Very civil.
Okay.
Okay. I want to ask five. Can I switch five and four?
Sure, go for it.
Okay, so I'm going to ask five. Wearing sneakers with a suit is appropriate attire for a sitting governor.
Oh, come on. Promote. I wish Allbirds had given me some of their stock when they went public, but I wear Allbirds all the time. I've got them on today.
There it is.
I've got them on today. Now, I'm not wearing a suit, but I wear them with a suit all the time.
When I brought this up, Carter goes, why ask that? I go, the guy wears Allbirds.
Yeah.
I hosted the city announcement at Liberty State Park a while ago, and you wore Allbirds with your suit. I said, I know this guy.
I love that.
Okay. All right. The U.S. men's national team will win a World Cup in our lifetime.
I'm going to say promote, but I also want to – can I spend 30 seconds?
Go for it. Yeah, yeah.
Please.
So they're in the Gold Cup. I don't know where they'll be on Tuesday when this airs.
They play Costa Rica on Sunday, and
we'll know if they're still in it.
So you'll know whether or not they're still – Costa Rica's a strong side, so that won't be a – The ratio right now, and I'm not sure why, because I'm a big Pochettino fan, so this is not a, it's going to sound like it's a comment about the manager, which it isn't. The ratio of talent to results is not what it need. They've got to get that fixed. You with me? So the sum of the parts is not equaling what we should be seeing right now. Now, the Gold Cup, as we sit here, they're 1-3 in a row, and that's a good sign, but that game against Switzerland was not a pretty, that first half was something that we need to tear up and throw away. So the answer, I'm going to say promote, but we need sooner than later the promise of this great next generation of talent to meet the actual results on the pitch. And there's too much of a gap there right now. And God willing, that gap will close sooner than later. Please God, it closes before we're in here a year from now with a World Cup and the U.S. is one of the three hosts. The mixed blessing of being a host, I think, is you don't have to qualify.
Yeah.
And that's good news at one level. On another level, you don't have to go through that grind where you're like living on the edge of your seat.
And building momentum.
Yeah. And so they got to manage that right.
Okay.
All right. Sorry to take so long on that.
No, not at all. Please take as much time as you want. We got all day. How much is the stadium? How expensive is it?
No. My lawyers have already weighed in. We got a limited window here.
They pulled the cord from my mic. I don't even know if you can hear it anymore. Those lawyers are good. I'll ask you this last one then, or I'll make this statement as the last one. And this is from all of us. Would you say this? The 2026 World Cup final will be the greatest of all time.
Promote, baby.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's going to be incredible. It's going to be here. It's hard to believe. You know, we've got friends around. We've lived in Asia. We've lived in Europe a couple of times. Obviously, we lived in Jersey. We've got friends around the country, around the world. When we first won the right to host the World Cup final, if people know that I'm the governor of New Jersey, I'd say, hey, by the way, the World Cup final is going to be in New Jersey. And they'd think that I was kidding them. That I was, just because I'm the governor, I was sort of, I said, no, you can look it up. We have the final of the World Cup right here on that pitch, July 19th, 2026, I think at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Again, co-hosting it with New York City, the city that never sleeps. It's going to be extraordinary. 2 to 3 billion people will watch it. The economic impact in this region, we think, is $3 to $4 billion. 14,000 jobs. 1 million to 2 million visitors. So if you're in the stadium, you'll never forget it. Frankly, I think if you're not in the stadium, but you're in the region somewhere, on a street in Ferry Street in Newark or in Liberty State Park or Times Square, you also won't forget it. It's going to be the greatest moment in sports history.
Would you be willing to help me with something?
Absolutely.
Okay, I need you to look at that camera. That's your camera. July 18th, 2026 will be my anniversary, my wedding anniversary.
I love you.
And it's a really big one. And I'm probably going to miss it because I work not only in soccer, but I'm going to be preparing for the World Cup final. So could you just tell my wife that it's cool?
What's her name?
Her name is Donna. Donna Guerrero.
Hey, Donna. Phil Murphy. Nice to see you.
She's from Secaucus, by the way.
I love you, Donna. Don't take that the wrong way. I apologize.
All right. Everybody take it easy.
July 18th, 2026 will be your anniversary. What number again?
It's a big one. I'll just say that.
It's a big one.
Yeah.
It's also going to be our son Josh's 29th birthday, which is also pretty cool. But please forgive your man. I know where he'll be. In fact, I will be here. I'll keep an eye on him for you.
Wow. In your suite?
And he promises you, and I'll make sure he makes doing this, that he'll give you a really special anniversary gift, probably on a different date. But he's good for it. I promise you.
Amazing. Ooh. Well, I'm glad you have taken over responsibility for Alexis because when he's not with his wife, I'm the one who has to watch.
Yes,
over.
Usually. By the way, Christian and I will both.
Yeah, he's the one usually apologizing on my behalf as well. So again, work is important, so I will probably miss it. But thank you. You just helped me a ton.
My honor.
Governor Phil Murphy, I mean, next month is our 10-year anniversary of
congratulations.
The podcast. How crazy together.
I love that.
And the fact that we get this opportunity to talk to you at MetLife Stadium on the precipice of the Club World Cup final, the World Cup coming up next year, it means just an enormous amount to us because we started our podcast in his kitchen in the Upper West Side.
I love
that. To get to a place where a Cuban and a Dominican talking about soccer, and now we get to
with chat. The Irish.
With the
Irish. Ireland is another place that we love. We performed stand-up there, Alexis.
I bet you guys do really, really well there.
Oh, they love banter.
The banter.
the banter over there, man. You guys are.
But it's an absolute honor to talk to you. And,
likewise.
And more than anything, you are just an absolute soccer nerd, just like us.
Yeah.
And this is just super cool. And you, any chance that you have to join us again on the show, you are welcome anytime.
Well, let's, at a minimum, let's do it next year during the cup. Hey. Whether it's in here or let's do it somewhere, right?
There it is. All right. Alexis's Kitchen.
Let's do it right here in this hospitality suite on July 19th. That's the final. I remember you guys said for me.
Anything going on at halftime that day? But hey, I'm honored to be on this. I'm a big fan of both of you guys, both in your stand-up capacity, but also Cooligans. And it's a big deal. Happy 10th.
Thank you. Thank you, man. Thank you. Everyone, Governor Phil Murphy. Yeah. This is the best.